Easter and the whole Lenten season is to get us to the realization that we truly are spirit and we're alive. We're alive to free ourselves. We're free of all the limitations that we think that this world is holding us to, that our own personal temple is bound by of lack and limitation. And the whole series of getting our consciousness together, our soul together, so that we can rise up and realize that the truth of ourselves is that we are already the Christ. So long as we can release, let go. And that's what Jesus was teaching all through his ministry. And his most crucial, the most beautiful one, is that he set his human life aside as a demonstration that he rose. And we rejoice in that rising because we too can rise. See, Unity, unlike other Orthodox Christianity, believes that he did this as a lesson. And it wasn't anything that he died. Yes, to show us how we too can be free of our sins, i.e. our erroneous thinking, our sense consciousness, to be free of it and to rise above the limitations that pin us down, that bind us, and to know that in our body, our body doesn't literally have to die, but the life that we choose to believe in right now has to die so that we can step into our greatness. So we know the truth of ourselves, that we too are the Christ incarnate. We too, if we believe and we do believe that God is everywhere present, God is everywhere present within you. So even more than you are the Christ, you are the individualized expression of God, filled with eternal life and love. And that ultimately is what the Easter story we preach, we teach, is all about. That you can be free of your limits, that no matter what's going on, you're safe, you're healed, and you're whole because you are alive. And the Christ in the biblical story, I'm gonna take away this long theory and just kind of jump to the crux of it, which is that, you know, for 2,000 years, we still look at pictures in our mind of God taking the sun away, of Jesus being on the cross. First of all, looking at it, and I think I'm going through the stories, which, you know, I think the movies that we will be seeing throughout the day and that we've been seeing throughout the whole Lenten season of Jesus carrying the cross. And all the tragedies and all the humiliation that he went through. Well, we know that, haven't we all gone through similar humiliations? Haven't we also bared our cross? It's a part of our humanness. The mistakes that we've made, some choices and ways we want to live our life, we live in hell. We live a hellacious life. We don't have to think about a hell down there somewhere in the depths. It's our consciousness. It's what we create and what we choose to live in. That's the carrying of the cross. That is the erroneous thinking that is symbolized by Jesus carrying the cross. And on Good Friday, the symbol is that he takes the cross. The cross is stood up, and we know the tragic vision of a man strung out, nailed to a cross. And I can't think of anyone who can't say, I have been nailed to the cross. I think we've all been nailed to some cross in some way, shape, whether we've nailed our own self to the cross or someone else has tried to nail us to the cross. But we don't have to stay on the cross. And yes, there is a death. So as I said before, it isn't of our physical body, but it's of that sense consciousness. It's of the death of a life that isn't right for you, that isn't the truth of you. You don't have to live in a making of your own hell here on earth, but you can rise and rejoice to the occasion of a higher form, the truth of yourself, that we were made and created like our brother Jesus. to rise and make this world a better place, to free ourselves of the human bondage and the limitations that we're here. Easter is about being free and choosing to allow ourselves to be the truth of who we are. I am good. I am lifted. And not to be still at the cross, hanging on the cross or on the bottom of the cross, looking at a symbolic Jesus and going, he is up there to save our sins. He is up there only to save our sins in the lesson that we can all overcome if we choose to. And so this, how do we choose to, though? I think that's more than anything. Every time I do this lesson, I end up there and I still start doing a regular Easter lesson, but today I decided not to. I wanted to really look into how do we get out of this chaos? How do we get out of this hell of our own creation? How do we move beyond this? And Crystal, I'm in this, but how do I do it? The ways of which can be done are symbolic and are in the Bible. So let's start with where I left off, with the crucifixion. I find it interesting that women in the Bible are kind of in these stories, when we retell the crucifixion story, are kind of fluffed off. But the reality is that women play a crucial part, not just in them being just women, but in their symbolism. How many of you remember that even at the crucifixion, there were four women by the name of Mary? It was his mother, Mary Magdalene. It was Mary, his mother's sister-in-law, Mary. Mary and Martha. It was Mary from Mary and Martha. Mary symbolizes, anytime you see Mary in the Bible, it means your soul. Mary means your soul. And most importantly, Mary means your soul that is love. Your soul that loves and has faith in God. So go back to the cross. And as Jesus is hanging on the cross, he was surrounded by love. Because he was surrounded by all the Marys. He was surrounded by the soul of love in his mother. The soul of love in his aunt. And there were different aspects of love. But either way you put it, as he was dying, love surrounded him. Not only in the feminine form, but he had an apostle with him. Anyone know which apostle was with him? John. John also symbolizes love. It is that spiritual love. That thought. So you had your spiritual love, you had your soul that was on fire in love and God surrounding him. So what does this mean for us? It means that as we're in these times of possibly going into war, as we're in these times of not even just war with North Korea or anyone else of our own making outside of us, it's the wars that we make within ourselves. The wars that we make of relationships that we have with other people, that instead of moving towards the fear that this brings up, we have to be reminded and recall that love surrounds us, that our soul is meant for love, not for this fear. Our soul is meant to grab hold of faith and be replenished with that love, even when we're being crucified. And that is the time when we really want to strike out. The last part of Jesus' humanity was the questioning, Father, why have ye forsaken me? Don't we say that all the time? Anytime we get into these troubles, why, God, why aren't you coming to my call? Why aren't you doing something about this? The reality is God is already all around us. In the purest form, as in love. And it's only when we can accept the love that and know that we are filled up in it, just as Jesus was while he was hanging on the cross, then we can move beyond the fears. open up and hear the guidance of God moving us beyond our error thinking, our sense thinking, our race consciousness, moving beyond the mistakes that we have made, and allowing all those things to die, for us to release and let them go, so that we can stand up, we can rise up, we can rejoice and be born anew. I find it interesting that part of that is that at one point in time, Jesus looks down and speaks to his mother Mary and says, "Mother, your son," pointing to John, "this is your son, accept him." He looked at John and said, "This is your mother, accept her." And with that, John, the disciple, took Mother Mary into his own home. You know, that gets crossed over and gets passed over so much, but I think that's significant. That the spiritual love embodies the soul of love. And in some way, shape, or form, it is a combination, a relationship. It is a marrying of two people, not in our traditional marriage, but it's a coming together of love. The intellectual spiritual love and the emotional spiritual love. And within that, only greatness can be born. And I know that, you know, even with me talking about love, I think most people are like, love, 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 blah, blah, blah. The word love is overused. What did you say, John? But yeah, all you need is love. But even with that, all we need is love, blah, 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 blah. Because it's so overused in the wrong way. But love is the only thing, truly. Love is the, as Charles Fillmore says, love is that bond that brings us all together. It is that harmonizer of everything. So as we think about love, 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 yeah, think about it. Embrace it. And don't think about it as the world wants us to think about it. Don't think of it as something that is stale and can't be used, or don't even think of the Tina Turner song, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Because love has everything to do with it. Yeah, it is a good tune. Now I have it in my head. Because love is not a secondhand emotion. Yeah, I have it going through my head now. Love is the absolute truth of us spiritually. God is love. Truly, love is at the fruit of all healing. Love is at the fruit of everything. And the symbolism is right there, not only at the end of his life, but at the end. Once he died of his body was taken into the tomb, and a rock was rolled over it. And as custom, in this Jewish custom, the women go out and they embalm him. I bet you, if you don't even know your Bible story, you can guess the name of one of the women who was going. Mary. It could be Mary, John. It is Mary. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene went with herbs, again, to embalm him. Can you imagine? Here is your spiritual love anointing you, preparing you. And it was Mary who found that the rock was moved. She stepped in and looked in, and all there was the burial cloth and two angels. And the two angels said to her, "He's not here." And behind her, there's some dude. And he goes, "Who are you looking for?" And she turned around, thinking it was the gardener or somebody, and said, "My Lord has been stolen. My teacher has been taken away." And he goes, "Mary." Now, that's my interpretation. That's my acting. "Mary, don't you recognize me?" And it was Jesus. Now, of course, he said, don't touch me now because I haven't fully ascended. But there he was. In the part of his ascension, as he is ascending, love is right there. And it was love who first came upon her. See, we go past these things because it was Mary who chug-a-lugged to the disciples, ran across two disciples, John, and we remember John is what? Spiritual love. And Peter. I said this a long time ago. Can anyone remember what Peter is? Faith. Woo, all right. So this love who found Jesus gone of the body, who was in the process of ascending, ran to love and faith to tell them that Jesus was gone. And so they went running because they didn't believe her. They didn't believe what Jesus said was going to happen. And Jesus said, you know, guys, I'm leaving, but, you know, I will rise. And no one believed him. And they didn't believe her. So they went running. They went chugging, longing. And it was John who was the fastest. It was love that was the fastest to get to the temple. But he couldn't, once he reached in, he couldn't get there. I find it interesting because love had to stop. But it was faith. Faith in what? Faith in something higher. Faith in something bigger. Faith had the courage to move into the temple and see that it was empty. Even during the resurrection, faith and love, most importantly, love is what is needed and is there to bring forth the ascension. I mean, now that I bring it to you, it kind of sounds simple. Of course it would be love that will allow us to rise up. But in this world today, it is even more important for us to recognize the Easter story. That the Easter story isn't just Jesus' story. It is all of our stories. And if we want a world that is more loving, filled with peace, filled with joy, if we want a world that is lifted up, then it starts with us and us recognizing that we are it. That if God moves in and through us in every part of us, that God is in us, that we are the conduit. We are, and I keep saying this, the individualized expression of God. Why do I keep saying this? Because even we all look different. We all act different. We have different talents. And it doesn't make any one of us greater or less than. It doesn't make any of us greater or less than, including Jesus. There is nowhere in the Bible where Jesus said, I am the dude, I'm greater, follow me. No, Jesus was like, get these lessons and then follow them and pass them along because we all have eternal life. We all are the Christ. We all can make a better world. Going back to this, free to forgive and free to save the world. Spirit am I. Perfect song. Let us throw down our fears of accepting our role and let's get to it. Let us stop playing small and get to the realization that each and every one of us are it. Amen. We are big. You can amen. I like it. If God is within us, we are greater than what we achieve or perceive. Individually, each and every one of us are the same. I don't care what mistakes you have made. That is the humanness of it. But we need to get ready to put all of the human error thinking on the cross. Let that die and allow ourselves to rise and rejoice in our own resurrection of greatness, in our own resurrection of the truth of who we are, in the own resurrection that our world can be heaven here on earth. And if each and every one of us allow our own individual worlds to be heaven here on earth, we will then be the testimony for other people to also embrace the love, embrace the joy, and to change their life, to allow their life to die so that they can have a new life where they are fully living, not a dead life, the life created to be joy-filled. Let us choose that. Let us take the steps. Some of us will take grandiose leaps. Some of us will take little baby steps and go back and then go forward, and that is all right, so long as you are moving, because life really isn't about this world. Our world is life and death, life and death. No, it's about life, and think of it as stripping the clothes off to gain more life, stripping another layer off to gain more life. That is what life is really all about, and that's what makes it eternal. We all have eternal life if we accept it, if we choose it. Let's choose that now. Let's choose to live in a life filled with joy, peace, joy, and harmony, and especially love. So as you go forward through your days, not just this week, through your lifetime, know that love is just not some word or some just emotion. Love is it. Love is the whole picture. Love is all there is. And once we all get a hold of that, not only embrace it, but give it out, be it, our world will change. Let us change that world. And if you're having some issues and you want a small reminder, you have your affirmation in the bulletin. And it says that the Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I rejoice in the knowing that I am one with God. So when I say the Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am, who are you? You're God, the Christ, but awakening you to knowing that you are better than what you are right now. And I think you're all pretty wonderful. Let's say that together. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I rejoice in the knowing that I am one with God. Happy Easter. God bless you. Namaste.